Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 13. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 13. We'll look at a few verses. Start at verse number 11, and if you'll join me on the even-numbered verses, we'll read down through verse number 14 of Romans chapter 13. Please stand with me. And I'll begin at verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof. Let's pray again. Lord, it's been good to spend this time, Lord, with the rest of the church family, Lord, the time of fellowship, the time that we've been able to spend with each other. But Lord, this is what we need now. We need you to please speak to us through the preaching. I pray, Lord, that you'd please be with our preacher as he opens your word. I pray, Lord, that we would listen. We would pay attention to what you have for us tonight. Be with the special music. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
More and more I feel like a stranger. There's so much I don't understand. Why a world so lost would not want a Savior and not want to take His hand. It's not for me to question, so I leave it with one who knows. Oh, my heart is no longer of this world. It left here a long time ago, and my heart belongs to heaven. Trusted it all with the Lord. Though my feet carry me anywhere I need to go, my heart is already home. I can't seem to get acquainted with this style of living today.
For my mind just keeps on wandering up to where my treasures are laid.
I can almost see the beauty, and at time I can hear the songs. I can stay in touch with heaven, for my heart is already home, and my heart belongs to heaven. I've entrusted it all with the Lord. Though my feet carry me anywhere I need to go, my heart is already home. Though my feet carry me anywhere I need to go, my heart
Kelly, thank you. bless you. That was a blessing. I want to draw your attention down to verse number 12 in the text that we read with Brother Hall just a little bit ago. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And here's what I want to speak on tonight. And let us put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. And I want to speak about our armor of light tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the good song. And truly, Lord, we think of that place that we know is home, the home of the soul, that sweet land called heaven. And Lord, we do look forward to the day when we'll be there with you. And until that time, help us to put on the armor of light and make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ's sake. And would your Spirit give us the power to do it effectively? Help us in these moments fill both speaker and listeners tonight so that we may benefit from your word. Guide my lips, my tongue, my thoughts. Help me, I pray, to be that tool in your hand for whatever you want to get done in this service tonight. In Christ's name I ask it. And amen. The word default is much more common now in our vocabularies than it used to be. Since the computer age, the word is quite often used, and we're very familiar with it. Default in the world of computers is a course of action that a program or an operating system will take when the user or programmer specifies no overriding value or action. Everybody who uses a Word program to write a document has default settings for that Word program. There's a default setting as to the margins of the page, the font type that will be used, the font size, the font color, and on I can go. That is, if no specific changes are ordered by the one typing the document, then those things that are default settings will automatically be engaged in that document. You understand? Default, okay? Now, listen carefully, because I'm going to make an illustration here with that. Darkness, both natural and spiritual, is a default setting. Darkness, both natural and spiritual, is a default setting. We won't turn there to back to Genesis chapter 1 where we have the story of the original creation. But in the original creation, when God made everything from nothing, there was only darkness to begin with. Genesis 1:2 says, the earth was without form and void. Now listen, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. All that existed was darkness. When God began to create everything that we know from nothing. So there was darkness. That's all that existed. The very first thing that God created is light. God said, the Bible says in Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light. So you've got this default setting of darkness. All that was in the universe was darkness. And God said, let there be light. And that was His first creative act. And then He divided the light from the darkness, and from that time forward, we've had light and darkness. But my point is, darkness remains the default setting. Darkness always responds to light. When light comes, darkness leaves. When light fades, darkness returns. Darkness never overtakes light. Darkness comes and goes in response to what light does. Darkness is always there, but it is at light's mercy. Even in the summertime, when it's summertime and those heavy clouds roll in, those thunderheads roll in, and they come between the earth and the sun, in the middle of this day in the summertime, it can get almost as dark as 6 and 7 o'clock more like 8 and 9 o'clock at night, because the light is hidden, the sun is hidden from the earth. So the darkness rolls in, and there the light is there, and here comes the clouds, and the light is covered up, but darkness was always in the background. Light always trumps darkness. Darkness is at light's mercy. We understand that. Darkness is at light's mercy. If you're in a room full of light, you don't say, turn on the darkness. You don't say that. Now, if you're in a room that's full of darkness, you say, turn on the light. And when the light's turned on, the darkness leaves. But when it's dark in a room, you don't say, turn off the darkness. You don't do that. Okay, you got to turn on the light. So darkness is at light's mercy. Now, God uses darkness as symbolic of evil and wrong. And what is true naturally is true spiritually. In these verses in Romans chapter 13 and in other places in the New Testament, God speaks about light and darkness. And you see that in verse number 12. Look at the references. You've got the word night. You've got the word day. You've got the word darkness and you've got the word light. Paul is speaking to Christian people and he's using light and darkness as examples. Darkness is a picture of sin and evil and the things of Satan. Light is a picture of righteousness and honesty and the things of God. Darkness is an example of being unsaved. Light is an example of being saved. Before a person comes to Jesus Christ for salvation, the Bible says they're in darkness. But when they come to Jesus Christ, now they are in the light. And God makes that very clear throughout the New Testament. Now, what Paul is saying here is that Christians need to wake up. Look at verse number 11. He says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So you say, well, man, he's talking about the fact that they're getting close to being saved. No, they're already saved. He's writing to save people. But what Paul is talking about is the completion of the salvation that God gives us. And the completion of the salvation that God gives us is when we're given a new body, when Jesus comes and we see Him, and He takes us off to that place called heaven that they just sang about, and we're given a new body. It's called glorification. Now, we're saved. If you come to Jesus Christ for salvation, you're born into God's family, you're justified, just as if you'd never sinned in the sight of God. And through this process of time, we should be sanctified, becoming more and more like Jesus and less like the world. One of these days, we're going to be glorified. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to receive a body just like His. It is glorification that Paul is talking about. Now is our salvation. Now is our glorification nearer than when we first believed. So what he's saying here, he's saying, hey, Christians, wake up. It's what I talked about this morning. Wake up. Jesus is coming. Now, I didn't have time to develop everything this morning, but you folks that know the Bible, you know that, you know, when that stone hits, we're gone 7 years before that stone hits that image. We're gone 7 years before that. Now, rapture comes 7 years before Jesus comes to set up His kingdom on the earth. All right, so we're gone before that, 7 years before that stone. I didn't have time to go into all that this morning because of the limited time on Sunday morning. But that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, Christians, wake up. Jesus is coming. Some people in the world are not ready for Jesus to come because they are not saved. Now, Jesus came the first time by way of Bethlehem's manger. He lived for about 33 and a half years. He went to the cross. He died there and shed His blood for the remission of our sins. He didn't have to die for His sins because He was sinless. He died for our sins. And then His body was placed in the grave. 3 days and three nights later, He came out of that tomb triumphant over death, sin, and the grave to prove that He was the Son of God and provided a full salvation for anyone who will believe. Now listen carefully. There are, what did I say this morning, 600 or 700 prophecies about the first coming of Jesus Christ. And every one of those prophecies was fulfilled in minute detail. There are more prophecies about His return to the earth the second time than there are the first time. And if God got it right the first time, my guess is He'll get it right the second time, right? God has a track record. Now, so He says you need to be ready. You need to be saved. You need to know that you are born again into God's family. And if anybody here tonight is not sure of salvation, you want to get saved before Jesus comes. Jesus came to die, was buried, and rose again so that we might be saved by putting our faith and trust completely and alone in His sacrifice. Now, and by the way, if you don't get saved now, during the tribulation period, when it comes that time period comes here on the earth, it'll be past time to get saved. That's why the urgent message of the Bible is today is the salvation day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You know, it's interesting to me, all of these beheadings in the news these days, in the news again this week. And by the way, if you missed the service about three Sunday nights ago, I preached a message called A Double Portion of Peace. You need to get that because it's possible for God's people to have peace even in days of distress. Now, all these words, all these news stories about these beheadings, do you know that during the tribulation, beheading will be a very common form of persecution and death? During the tribulation period, read about it in the book of Revelation. There will be many people martyred by the method of beheading. And so it's very interesting to me. So, if you have an opportunity to get saved, do it before it's too late. Then, Paul said, some people in this world are not ready for Jesus to come. They are saved, but they are asleep. They're asleep. So Paul says, you know, some people are not ready for Jesus to come because they're not saved. They need to get saved. Other people are not ready for Jesus to come. They're saved, but they are asleep. And so Paul says, wake up, Christians, wake up. Darkness is the default setting. Darkness spiritually. The light of Christianity is fading. And when light fades, darkness returns. And by the way, when darkness comes, darkness makes us sleepy. What happens when the sun goes down and you've worked a good long day on the job and you're at the house? Your eyes get heavy and you start to yawn. And darkness brings on that tired and sleepy feeling. And so Paul is saying, hey, Christian people, wake up. Don't let darkness lull you to sleep. Put on the armor of light and let your light shine. Cast off darkness by putting on the armor of light. Because when light comes, darkness leaves. When light fades, darkness returns. He's talking about darkness. Wrong, evil, sin, immorality will never leave, folks, because we just don't like it. Darkness will never leave because we yell at it. Think about it. If you go into a dark room, darkness is not going to leave just because you say, I don't like this. Darkness, get out of here. You could stand there and yell at the darkness. Darkness, I don't like you. Leave, darkness, get out of here. And I will tell you something. Darkness is there to stay until somebody turns the light on. Does that make sense? Darkness responds to light. Now, if I don't like being in a dark room, I can pout and I can get mad and I can stomp my foot and I can scream and I can say, this is terrible, or I can go turn a light on. And to me, it makes a lot more sense to go turn a light on than it does. It might lock you up in one of those white robes and send you off to a rubber room somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Now, we can complain about the darkness. We can yell about the darkness. We can wring our hands about the darkness. We can be afraid of the darkness. Or we can turn on a light. And when the light is turned on, the darkness leaves. That's what Paul is saying here to the Christians. Wake up. Darkness is overtaking. Darkness is creeping because light is fading. And the reason light is fading to the Roman church, he wrote, is because Christians are asleep. It's the natural progression of what happens. When light fades, darkness returns. So Christian people, wake up. And put on the armor of light. That's, folks, we can wring our hands and be upset about all the ills of our nation, our state, and the world all around us. And we can stomp and yell and spit and scream, you know, about it. Or you know what we could do? We could turn on the light. We could turn on the light. And that's what Paul is saying here. Put on the armor of light, little by little. Darkness returns as Christians go to sleep and lose their testimony, are afraid to speak up for Christ. And by the way, folks, there's something else about the darkness. Darkness is pretty dangerous. You're a lot safer. You're a lot more protected in the light then you are the darkness. Right? Sure. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying little by little, darkness is returning. It's overwhelming because Christians are going to sleep. They're losing their testimony. And the armor of light not only scatters the darkness, but it serves as our protection. Light protects us from objects that cannot be seen in the darkness. Light, spiritual light, protects us from temptation that Satan throws at us. So Christians in the 21st century, can you and I learn from this passage that Paul wrote to Rome and the church at Rome in the first century of the New Testament church? Yes, we can. Because just like in Paul's day, Christians are going to sleep. We're in the days. And we're mad that darkness is returning. But that's what darkness does when light fades. Darkness is only doing what darkness is supposed to do. When the light leaves, the darkness takes over. That's what happens. So Christians in the 21st century, wake up. That's what Paul is saying. Don't be lulled to sleep. Don't get into daze. Don't be a commonplace about your Christianity. Every day that you live, put on your armor of light. And if a child of God will put on the armor of light, it will help repel some of the darkness that's in the world today. Now, I've got three simple suggestions on how we can put on the armor of light. And we'll be done and catch you and carry on with the rest of the service. Number one, use God's name in a positive light. Use God's name in a positive light. I'm sure that everybody here gets real tired of hearing God's name used in vain. Now look, I'm around lost people, and you know, I hear lost people use words that I used when I was lost. Okay? And you know, I expect lost people to talk like unsaved people. It goes with the territory. But what I cannot take is when they start throwing God's name attached to some profane word. I just can't handle that. When they start with God this and God that, and I'm sure I'm like many of you, there have been times when I have spoken up and said to people, fellas, please don't talk like that anymore. The last time I think that happened, I think you and I were playing tennis over here, and maybe even Leah was still at home. We were playing tennis, and there was a bunch of teenage boys, and they were playing basketball, and they're boys, okay? I know, I did that when I was a boy. And, you know, some of the words that we heard were, you know, words that you hear, but some of the words were GD and other words with the name God in it. And you know what, folks? I'm just not going to stand idly by and let people take the name of God and profane it like that. So I stepped over there and I said, hey, fellas, we got girls over here playing and you're taking God's name. And they were using some other words that weren't appropriate at all around ladies. And I said, y'all need to clean it up a little bit. You know what? They all said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. They were done with it after that. I am for that. I'm for speaking up when somebody's taking God's name in vain. But how about the reverse side of that, folks? How often do you and I, in public, among people, how often do we use God's name in a positive light? Do we take every opportunity that comes along to say God's name in a positive way? To put God's name in the course of conversation. And I think that's one of the ways that you and I can put on the armor of light is to use God's name in a positive light. You know, yes, you know, stand up for God's name. If somebody's using it in vain, do that. And that takes some courage. And I think God will bless you for doing that. But beside that, go on the other side and take every opportunity we can to put God's name forth in a positive light. For instance, you're checking out at the store or going through the line at the bank. And maybe somebody says, isn't the weather beautiful? How about responding like this? Hasn't God given us a beautiful day? Who? God, creator, sustainer, holds it all together. How about putting God's name out there in a positive light? I'm thankful for God's provision for us as Americans. I thank God. You know, maybe you're somewhere and there goes an ambulance. And you say, somebody says to you, somebody at work, or somebody says to you, no, if you're just in the shopping center or something, somebody says to you, oh, there goes an ambulance. I wonder where they're going. And you can say something like, you know, I thank God for our public servants, our police department, our fire department. Or God is good to us. Or God has been so good to us as Americans. How about using God's name in a positive light? I am for standing up for when God's name is abused, but how about you and I taking the initiative? Put on the armor of light sounds like an offensive move to me. Does it sound like an offensive move to you? Put on the armor of light. Go on the offensive, Christians. It's a dark world out there. You know, instead of screaming at the darkness, how about turn on a light? I'm tired of all this. I'm tired of the wickedness in the world, the way this thing is going. And all the... Okay, well, you know, you can scream at the darkness all day long. It's not going anywhere. But when you start turning on lights, the lighter it gets, the brighter it gets, the darkness goes. So use God's name in a positive light. Light drives away darkness. Use God's name in a positive light. Let me say this, number two tonight. Use honesty as a powerful light. Use honesty as a powerful light. Look at verse number 13. Look at what he says about the first thing he says about after he says, put on the armor of light. The first thing Paul says after that is, let us walk honestly. Now, I got to thinking about that this week. Do you know honesty will bring great light to those around us? Honesty. Say, how can I use this? Work hard. Put in a full day's labor for a full day's wage. Be honest about your accomplishments on the job. Don't take company time. Be there early and work till stopping time. You say, well, that's... You know what that is, folks? That's turning on a light. Do you know how refreshing it is for employers to find an honest person to work for them? Talk to some of these business owners around here who try to hire employees. First of all, if you can get them to show up, that'd be a blessing. And if you can get them to show up for a whole week, that's even more blessing. And then if you can get them to be honest while they're on the job, well, that's... No, you know what that's called? That's called turning on a light. And it ought to be that Christian people, God's people, and I would hope that in this area, the members of Faith Baptist Church in particular, would be some of the honest, most honest employees on the job. The most honest employees, the most honest workers at the office, the most honest worker at the factory, the most honest truck driver behind the wheel of the truck. I mean, brother, put on the armor of light by using honesty as a powerful light. You know, when the cashier gives you back more change than she or he should have, don't pocket it and walk away and say, man, what a dummy. How about, you know, saying, you know what, you gave me too much change. And give it back. That's called honesty. You know, there have been a couple of occasions over the years where, you know, I bought several items. Usually it's scent soap and scent spray and, you know, and detergent to wash my hunting clothes in and all the stuff, you know, they're necessary. So you got it all lined up there. And you kind of got an idea of how much it cost. And so the cashier says some figure that is ridiculously low. Now, you've got a course of action you're going to take, one of the two. You're going to think to yourself, boy, am I getting a deal here? And walk out. Or you can say, you sure you rang that up right? I was planning to pay more than that for all this, did you? And you know what? Sometimes they'll go back and look at the receipt and see that they missed a couple of items. And those cashiers are very grateful when you're honest. Well, I want to do something about all the evil that's overtaken America. Okay, what are you going to do? Scream at the darkness? I don't like you. Get out of here. God bless you. Or you can turn on the light. Put on the armor of light. Honesty is a powerful light. In a world of dishonesty, use honesty as a powerful light. I want to tell you something. We talked about the fact that light gives you protection. I want to tell you something. The honesty gives you protection. You know, when you establish a reputation as on the job as being an honest person, a lot of temptation you will avoid automatically. Because you've got the reputation of being an honest person. Oh, he won't do that. She won't be a part of that. They won't do that. They're too honest. They're too honest. Not to mention getting God's blessing on you for being honest. You know, I read this story in a magazine some years ago, and I believe I shared it here. I know I shared it here, but it's years and years ago. Let me tell you this story again by the name of Rick Lawson. He lived in Texas, and he worked for a major defense contractor as an engineer on a project for the U.S. Navy, and he had the highest security clearance that you possibly could have on that job. Rick was a nominal Christian. You know what he was? He was asleep. He was saved, but he was asleep. Nominal Christian, just Christian in name only. Never turning on any lights. And he was fine with that until his church had a revival meeting. And during the revival meeting, God spoke to Rick's heart. And he humbled himself and he rededicated his life to God. And he started out to live for the Lord, make his life count for Christ. And when he did that, God started to work on Rick's heart, disturbing him about matters of dishonesty in the early part of his career. To be specific, he had been dishonest. He had the highest level of security clearance possible for that particular job, but he had lied on his application about previous drug usage. And that bothered him. And when along about that time, his pastor at church preached on the subject of being honest and having a clear conscience. And Rick decided he was going to take a bold step. And he was going to resubmit his paperwork about that security clearance. And this time, he was going to be as honest as he possibly could. And he knew it was big trouble, or it had the potential to be. Because right on the application, it stated that if you falsify your information, you could be fined up to $10,000 and you could be imprisoned up to 10 years in prison. Now, the day he drove to work to resubmit his application and make it right, Satan gave him fits. What are you doing? Nobody knows this. Why are you going to do this? This is crazy. But he had to live with his conscience. He had to live with his conscience. And so he resubmitted the application and he was completely honest. 1 week later, his boss came and took away his security badge and said, somebody from the contractor and somebody from the government is going to be investigating this case. The co-workers he was taking off that top-level security and put on some other little job there that had to do with the same project, but he didn't have his security clearance. His co-workers learned that his security clearance had been suspended, but they didn't know why. And so one by one they came to him and said, Rick, what's up? And every time they came to him and said, Rick, what's up? He had the opportunity to witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and give a testimony about what God had done in his life. One by one, he witnessed to almost all those working in that particular place where he was working. 4 months went past, not a word was spoken. He went to work every day, uncertain about what was going to happen, but his heart was full of joy. An investigator came in. And one day he came to work and an investigator was there. His boss took him and said, look, this man is here to investigate the case. He sat Rick down and he wrote out Rick's story word for word. And then he had Rick confess to lying on the previous application. That was the end of the meeting. 5 more months passed. Nothing happened. Rick came to work one day. His boss called him and said, Rick, I got some bad news. Come on down to the office. I need to talk to you. And here's what he said. He said, Rick, he said, we haven't heard any word from anybody about this, but I can't wait any longer to put somebody in your spot. It's been 9 months. So I'm going to have to leave you where you are on this lower level part of the project, and I'm going to have to put somebody else in that spot that has top security clearance. And while his boss was talking to him, the phone rang. And it was the investigator hired by the contractor, the defense contractor. And the investigator said, "You tell Rick that his security clearance has been reinstated by the contractor, but not by the Navy." And so he, although he has been reinstated by the contractor, he cannot work on the project until the Navy signs off on it. And a few days later, they got word that the Navy denied it. He was not allowed back in that position. He got moved to an unclassified project working on the F-16 fighter jet. And it wasn't but just a couple of months later that the Navy cut the funding for the previous project that Rick had worked on. 3,500 engineers were laid off. Rick kept his job. All because he was honest. Honest. Folks, we can scream about the darkness, or we can turn on the light. Turn on the light. Use the name of God in a positive light. Use honesty, a positive light. Use honesty as a powerful light. And then let me say this tonight, I'm done. Use godliness to promote light. Godliness. Look at verse number 14. Paul finishes up this chapter by saying, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Paul said, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." What's he saying there? He's saying, live as Christ would live. Live a godly life. Living the Spirit-filled Christ life will promote light. As compared to a self-filled flesh life, which promotes darkness. Every time a Spirit-filled Christ life goes anywhere, that light repels darkness. So friend, that means if you and I would put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day and allow the Spirit of God to live through us, we would promote light everywhere we go. You and I encourage the darkness when we live the self-filled flesh life. I would say, listen, the world is doing exactly what God said the world would do. The world is spiraling, 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 waxing worse and worse, as the Bible says, into more and more darkness. But the reason that is because the Christian light is fading. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. And we've done a good job of getting mad at the darkness, shaking our fist at the darkness, hollering at about the darkness, when in reality, what we need to do is turn on the light. I need to turn on my light. You need to turn on yours. And everywhere we go, use the name of God in a positive light. Use honesty as a powerful light. And use godliness, the Spirit-filled Christian life, to promote light. Paul said, Christian people, wake up. Wake up. You're being lulled to sleep. Repel the darkness with the armor of light. The armor of light. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, would you please help us? We live in a day that is very needy for truth. And Lord, I would pray that you'd help us, please, put on the armor of light as your people, to use God's name in a positive light, to use honesty as a powerful light, and to use godliness to promote light. And Lord, may we turn on the light every day as your child and go out into the world in which we live and be a light that helps repel darkness. God, please, help us as your people in this day to learn some things from the Apostle Paul, what he wrote to the church at Rome in the first century. and help us to turn on a light every day that we live, everywhere we go. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Listen very carefully. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, the most important decision you'll ever make in life is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, not in a church or a creed or a constitution, some church document. It's in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. If you're not sure that you're saved, we have somebody that can show you how to be saved tonight. Boy, girl, man, woman, doesn't matter. If you're not saved, I would urge you to come to Christ. Maybe God's been working on your heart about this matter of salvation. But I wonder tonight, for those who are saved, are we being lulled to sleep, folks? Are we not putting on the armor of light? We don't like the darkness. Nobody does. But the best way to fight darkness is with light. Turn on the light. Pastor, pray for me. At some point during the message tonight, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about using God's name in a positive light, using honesty as a powerful light, and promoting and using godliness to promote light. God spoke to my heart one way or the other in some fashion through the message. Pray for me. I want to turn on a light. Would you slip your hand? I see some hands already. God bless you. Amen. Now, if you came tonight to be baptized, now is the time to come to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please, as the ladies begin to play a song of invitation. Won't you come tonight and use the altar a little bit? Come to follow the Lord in baptism. You raised your hand just now that God spoke to you. Why don't you come tonight? Let's turn on the light. Let's put on the armor of light. Let's use God's name in a positive light. Let's use honesty to promote light as a powerful light. And godliness to promote light. The Spirit-filled Christ light.